He knows. Had I left this home, he knows, right? I mean, really. Is he in control, or are we really in control? And I know, would I be nervous, and would I, totally flip out? Not totally, partially, perhaps. I gave him 12 questions. I'm going to read them off to you, and I'm going to tell you the responses, and then I'm going to just take a look at one or two, and we'll talk about those for a minute, and then I'll just move on. I asked him about whether or not God was perfect. There were 16 kids, and 15 said that he was, and one said that he wasn't. I asked if God was all-knowing. 16, 100% said he was. I asked if he was omnipresent, that if he was everywhere. 100% said he was. I asked if Jesus was God. 56% said that he was. I asked if Jesus was alive today. 56% said that he was. I asked if Jesus died in our place, if he was our substitute, if he died for us in our place. 88% said that he did. I asked if each of us were sinners, each and every one of us. 81% said that we were. I asked if everyone, and then I threw in their mothers and fathers. I said, is everyone a sinner? Everyone, your mothers and fathers included. Well, from 81%, it dropped to 69%. I asked if disobedience was a sin. 88% said that it was. I asked if they have trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, if they've repented of their sins and asked for forgiveness. 75% said that they had. 25% said they weren't sure. So it was true, false, or not sure. I asked if they knew that they're going to heaven. Those 75% said that they had trusted Christ as their Savior. It dropped to 50% said that they knew that they were going to heaven. The other was broken up between not being sure and the fact that it was true, it was false, that they weren't going to heaven. I asked if everyone goes to heaven. No one said that that was true, that everyone goes to heaven. 81% said that that was totally false, and 19% weren't sure. I asked if you're good, if you'll go to heaven. If you're good, you'll go to heaven. You just be good. 38% said that that was true. 62% that was false. I asked if the Bible was true, without any mistakes. And 69% said that it was. The rest, the 31%, weren't sure or it was false. And then I asked if God wrote the Bible. Now, I could have posed this better because it didn't seem like anyone understood, I don't think. Because I was thinking that they'd say, well, yeah, God wrote the Bible. But I could have posed it in a better way because only one person said it was true. But 69% said it was false, and 4% weren't sure. Or 69% said it was false or not sure. So perhaps I could have written, asked that question better. So, but anyway, the top three where they erred to the greatest degree was whether or not Jesus was God, whether or not Jesus is alive today, and then whether or not the Bible was true without any mistakes. So those were like the three key ones that they'd erred the most on. And I think, for these kids to answer these questions in such a way, particularly say even Jesus being God, to really understand that he really was God, but he was a man. Well, he was God. We ask these questions here, and it's quite possible that if I were to ask them all, that you'd understand, true or false, you could answer those and perhaps get 100. But if I were to ask you to tell me, well, if I were to meet you on the street, and I were to say, what do you mean Jesus is not God? What do you mean Jesus, he was a man. He said, that he said he's the Son of Man. He's the Son of God. He was a son. He was, somewhere to go toe-to-toe with you. And say, I don't believe Jesus is God. Could you open the Bible? Could you say, well, because of this, this is why I believe Jesus is God? Or would you be able to hold your own in a conversation if someone was to say, that's just a book written by God? It's nothing but man's thoughts. What do you mean it's the Word of God? Would you know from scriptures as to how to say as to why you believe it's the Word of God, or why you believe Jesus is God, or how you know that you're saved? How do you know you're on your way to heaven? Could you prove it from Scripture? Would you be able to do that? As several of most of you know, I've gone out and begun to go into the street to preach. And this message today, I tell you, it was difficult to put this message together today. Because over the last couple of weeks, I've been preparing thoughts, but knowing that I'm not going to be able to have any notes before me. I'm going to have to give out a message, order it, give it out without any notes, but just speak my mind for 10 or 15 minutes and hope to communicate something that would be the gospel and that people would understand. So to prepare for this message today, I'll forewarn you, I'm not sure as to how all the rest of this 20 minutes is going to go. I have got notes here in front of me. I've got an order to it all. But I think, as we know from our morning worship, that we don't come prepared with things, and it's amazing the thoughts that do transpire. It's not that I haven't prepared for this message. I haven't got a clear thought as to some of the things I might share with you. For example, you know, I've been out preaching, and I get my painting, and I get it finished. I'm illustrating the gospel, and I present a thought on the left-hand side, something that's going to be able to be transferred over to the right-hand side of this board where I'll present the gospel, the clear gospel. And so I get it all painted, and then, you know, people are just still cruising by and walking by, and they're still milling around, and they maybe didn't even hear what I just said. They have no clue. Why has this guy got this here? And so, I mean, my message is done. So now it's like I just begin to think of things to say before I just do my next message. So I find myself saying things like, read your Bible. Blow the dust off your Bible and read it. I said it just like that. And I continued to speak. I'm not a Mormon. I'm not a Jehovah's Witness. I'm a Bible-believing Christian. I believe the Bible to be the inspired, inerrant Word of God. My encouragement to you is to read it. I thought to myself, boy, where'd that come from? Yeah, I hadn't planned that. I hadn't planned to say those things, but you know, is that something that these people need to hear? Yeah. So much of my message I found to it's good to prepare for it, but also to allow the Spirit of God to carry some of your thoughts and allow the Spirit of God to speak through you. And I appreciate your prayers. I'll tell you that as I handed out the letter last week, that letter that I handed out to maybe 15 or 20 of you, however many it was, I had that letter typed up 2 weeks prior. The date on it was March 30th, that was my day to speak. And if you know, I was trying to get permission or permit to preach in the city, to do it legally, and the answer didn't come. I had that letter printed up. Actually, I had the one that printed it up gave me 100 of these things. The secretary at work, she says, you ever need anything done, you let me know, and I'll print these, I'll do whatever you need to do. And I give her this letter, and I'm expecting five, you know, she'll maybe give me one, and I'll make copies of it. But she gives me a pack of 100 of these things 2 weeks prior, and it's got a date on it, a deadline, that I'm going to preach on the 30th. Well, I continue to contact this guy downtown at the head of the permits, and he just kept saying, well, I'm checking on it, call me back, or I'll call you back, and he just wouldn't give me a clear answer. Monday at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, I got my answer. He called up and he says, And we talked, and he says, just go ahead. You just do it. If anybody has any trouble, they just tell them to call me. You're not going to be selling anything, are you? And I said, no. He said, you go ahead. If they have any trouble, they call me, and I'll send you something in writing once the lawyers or whatever find out. I hung up the phone, and I said, praise the Lord, because I knew that that's what the Lord wanted me to do. And I would have preferred to know 2 weeks ahead of time, but it wasn't good for me to have known 2 weeks ahead of time, because he desired that at the last moment that he would let me know, and then I would go. I told you that I've got a public confession to make. Tom, about 4 or 5 months ago, he's doing a message of Jonah, and he says, how could that Jonah not listen to God, not obey God? How could he just not do that? And I thought to myself, I didn't comment, but I thought to myself, well, Tom's young in the faith. He'll grow. He'll figure it out. I'm thinking to myself, well, I know why. Because I can relate to Jonah, Jonah being called to go and preach. You raise your voice in a crowd of people milling about and stand out, and the shame and humiliation and ridicule and the chastisement or whatever else might come along with it. I'm thinking to myself, I can relate to Jonah. I know why Jonah ran. Many of you know that I went down to the Ezekiel Project in New York City the summer of 97, late summer of 97, July, August. It's where they teach you in a classroom 4 days of study, and then they take you out on the street. They show you how to preach the gospel to the crowds, and you go out and you preach. Day four, you know. And so I went and did this. Knowing about the Ezekiel Project prior, I knew that the Lord wanted me to do that. I knew in my unsaved years, I had prepared myself as an unsaved person to speak in front of groups. I was trained or had learned how to do that. And hearing about the Ezekiel Project, I thought to myself, boy, that's what the Lord wants me to do. And so I thought, well, it won't hurt. I'm going to go to the Ezekiel Project. I can do this. I can do this thing once, right? So I went down there, and the first time out, I began to preach. And after I preached for only about 15 seconds, Chris Schroeder comes up to me and he says, you're a preacher. You're a preacher. And I continued to preach, and it went well. I preached maybe 4 or 5 times in New York, and we went into the Bronx, and I sensed that, yeah, I can do this. I came back from there, and I tell you, I wanted to set my paint board on the top of my house. I wanted to scream. I wanted to gather up all the neighborhood kids, and I wanted to start to preach to these kids. And I talked to some people about it. I didn't have a real clear plan. I didn't really have a deadline set. And 2 days went by. Week went by. Month went by, and it got to be September. It started to get cold, and started to think of some excuses not to go out. Well, it got to be winter, and then I thought, well, though I know Chris Schroeder says that he goes out in the winter, he pours salt in the paint. Goes out and preaches in the city. Still, though the snow's coming down, he preaches in the city. Pour salt in the paint. You can still preach. Well, it was winter. I'm not going to go out in the winter. Well, spring came, and too much time passed now. May came, and June came, and I got the idea to, knowing that I wanted to, well, I guess even, I even... I think it wasn't last Christmas or around last winter, Chris. I had a release of the urge, and I preached preached once at the hockey game. So the urge was there, but I knew that what the Lord was calling me to do is to get that paint board and go out into the city and preach. Well, the summer came, and knowing the Lord's calling, I still had this in the back of my head, and decided to do something second best. I had the urge to give out the word, and I decided to get us some of Uncle Dave's track, and I committed before the Lord, and I said, okay, Lord, I'm not going to preach, but, and I know you want me to, but I'm going out and giving out tracts. So every Thursday I committed myself to going out and giving out tracts, and praise the Lord, it was a joyful time. But the second best. It wasn't what the Lord wanted me to do. It's what I felt led to do or was willing to do. You want me to go preach, Lord? Not so, Lord. I went out and gave out tracts. And the Lord blessed. I think it was encouraging, not only to myself. I grew as a result, but I wasn't doing what the Lord really wanted me to do. Through that time, over the course of that year, I never really shared with anybody that I had this burden, that the Lord wanted me to do that. Never really made it clear to anybody else. Never told anyone about that burden that I had. You know, there's a real danger when we're not accountable to someone else. There's a serious danger. I blew 17, 18 months. Blew it. The preaching that I did the last week, the last 2 weeks, the Lord wanted me to do 18 months ago. But I wasn't going to do it. I didn't plan. I didn't act on what the Lord wanted me to do, though I know He wanted me to do it. And I didn't share anybody. I didn't share really closely with anybody that's what He wanted me to do. The preaching that I'm doing now, I was just as capable of doing back then. And what would the Lord have allowed to transpire over the last 18 months? Who knows? I mean, there's growth. When you step out in faith and do something, there's growth as a result. Growth you will experience. So the growth that I may have experienced even over the last couple of weeks, August of 97, I probably would have experienced it. Well, about 6 months ago, I found myself giving advice. Did you ever give advice to someone and hear yourself say things that you yourself are struggling with? You yourself haven't applied yet to your own life? Or quote someone's scripture that you yourself haven't really applied? And you find as you speak those words, boy, they just ring. They just ring out because you know that those words, he knows that you've got those words, you're able to give them to somebody else, you're just as easy to apply them to your own heart. Well, I found myself in a situation where someone was telling me about, I can't think of who it was, but he's telling me that there's a guy in his assembly and he wants to preach and there's no one that wants to go with him. We live in a small town and there's, I don't know where he'd preach anyway. And you know what my advice was to him? My advice was, come up alongside that young man. Pray with that young man. You go out with him. You just tell him you'll go along. Tell him you'll go watch. You just let him preach. You find a place, send him. Tell him to go and you encourage him. Encourage him. That was my advice to him. And I thought to myself, boy, listen to what I just told this guy. Well, another month or so passed, and I began to share with this person and with this person about this burden. I began to tell them that, you know, the Lord wants me to preach. And I began to confess the fact that I've been lingering. I'm like Lot. My feet are dragging. The Lord wants me to go, but you know what? I'm like Lot, and my feet are dragging. I don't want to do it. Funny, you know, we pray for the will of the Lord. Lord, show me your will. Make it clear to me. Boy, He makes it clear to you, and then we don't want to do it. But anyway, I made it clear to a couple of brothers that, you know, the Lord wants me to do this, and they said, okay, I'll pray for you about that. You know, when you make something known to someone else, then they call you on it. That's a good thing about accountability, because you got a problem, you got a situation, someone can call you on it and say, well, how's that going? How are you doing with that area there? Have you made any progress? Well, I got a phone call from a brother, and he says, so I've been praying for you about that street preaching. You know, you just, and he starts quoting obedience verses to me. Got a letter around Christmas from, I don't know if any of you know, Eric Smith. red-bearded, he was red-bearded when we saw him at the missionary conference in November. Eric Smith, young man, he used to come up to the Roman studies. He's up from New York. He was going to UB and then was up with Amherst, I think. Anybody know who he is? Young man, about 19, 20, 21 years old. Well, Eric is a serious brother. He really loves the Lord. And he was at that missionary conference, and I didn't even know he was there. They called on him to pray. He was in the back of the meeting, and I didn't even know he was there. They called him up front to pray. He's about probably 21 now. Had been going from here, this to that, and he went as an art major to college, and then he decided to go as a med student, knowing that the Lord's desire was to serve the Lord. And he's kind of going from this to that, and wasn't really sure, and now he's doing something else. He's back living with his folks, and he's going to a local college, and he's doing something else, and this kid gets up there and starts to pray. And he starts to sob like a child. He starts to weep like a baby. And in his prayer, he begins to ask the Lord that he might find us all obedient. And I knew that in those tears that this man is crying because he too has heard the call of the Lord on his life and he hasn't been faithful to respond it. And as I sat there listening to that prayer of this man, I began to sob right along with him because I knew what he was crying about. Because that same call, that same sense that the Lord would have you do something and then not be obedient to it, you're not in fellowship with the Lord. The Lord is distant from you when you're not obedient. When sin, when rebellion has come between you and the Lord distances himself. You don't have the real joy, the real freshness of the Word, the real communion and harmony of fellowship, the real sense of answer to prayer when you're holding back, when you're not giving in to something that the Lord would have you do, to ask for more blessing or to ask for something when the Lord's already made something clear to you and you say, well, no. Well, I became accountable. I shared my burden with Eric Smith, whom I know had the same burden that I had. And in about a month later, I got this letter from him, and he's asking me, you know, tell me how things are going with him. And he leaves the verse, present yourself to God as those alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. He puts that in there. Says, you still have a burden for open-air preaching in downtown Buffalo? This is in December. Then he asked me a question that cut to my heart. Have you taken any steps forward with that? You know, the Lord can make things clear, but we gotta take the step. We gotta walk ahead in faith. Well, I began doing my paintboard ministry with Awana. I gave a couple of messages and began to practice again. Pulled the thing out, blew the dust off it, stirred the paints up a little bit, added some water. Came into Awana and started to present a couple messages and was encouraged from some of the people that had said, you know, that was good. You know, they enjoyed the message. And so from that point forward, I began to told a few more brothers about my desire to preach, that I resigned to the fact that I'm going to preach. I'm going to preach once the weather breaks. Well, I've laid a deadline now. Once the weather breaks. Well, January and February, you know, even though it's not going to not snow and it's, you know, I can't go out still in January or February, but I knew that I had a deadline now set. So I began to plan toward that end, and the Arctic blast came up, and that was maybe message number 3 or 4. And the response from the people, I think it came across quite well. And I thought to myself, you know, actually, I have a talent to draw or paint. I feel confident with a paintbrush in my hand because the Lord has gifted me with that talent. I have had it since a child, but never had much use for it. The whole package of preaching, the way I'm doing it, it's designed for me. And I come to realize that, you know, in January of this year or so, clearly. Well, I began to then send out a letter for this permit and tried to get some information about that back, because I knew that I'm going to go now. I've resigned to that fact. And I set a deadline for that, set the goal, realized the obstacles, just my disobedience, just had to repent and admit that before the Lord, and set a goal and to set a date, and decided to go out. And then, as you know, I set the date of the 30th because it was the Tuesday before Easter. But actually, you know, the Tuesday before Easter in 97, or excuse me, in 98, same thought crossed my mind to go out, but it just came and went. But this Easter, I thought to myself, I can't live with myself. I could not feel good about my relationship with the Lord had I let another opportunity of Easter go by. As people are all gathering their eggs and filling their baskets and getting candy, and I couldn't let another opportunity go by. Well, I got that letter and I sent it out to everyone. I knew when that date was on there for the 30th, I thought to myself, I'm going out. I am so sure that the Lord wants me to do this, that day is going to come, and you know what? I'm going to be there. I'm going to have that permit in my hand. It didn't come that Friday prior, and I began to think, well, Lord, I know you want me to do this. I don't understand. That Monday prior to me preaching on the Tuesday, the permit still didn't come. And I said to the Lord, Lord, I can't understand. You know, I know that you want me to do this tomorrow. And I began to think to myself, okay, I got to call Jason. What am I going to do here? Do I just go anyway? And I've got some people give me advice, just go. You just go. You know the Lord wants you to go. Just go. And I thought to myself, well, I've been preparing for this permit, and I need to know about this. And at 3 o'clock that afternoon, it came. I knew that Tuesday was going to be a sunny day. I could tell you, I knew it. I didn't have to look at the map. I knew it was going to be a sunny day, because I knew that the Lord wanted me to go out. I knew He wasn't going to hinder me in any way. Well, the day came. I prayed for the details of this, my first message a couple of weeks ago. I prayed that the Lord would give me good weather. I prayed also for a parking space. I prayed also that the Lord would give me the words. And as you know, I prayed for courage and boldness and compassion and humility. And I got up and I began to paint. I set it up, and I just knew that there was nothing else I could do. I must do this. I knew that the Lord wanted me to do this, and there was no peace apart from doing this. And so I set this board up, and I began, and I started to paint, and I turned, and I began to speak. And the words were there, and the messages were all there, and I preached for a good hour and a half. And after the end of the hour and a half, my board toppled. Some guy begins to approach me, and my board topples. The paint all hits the ground, and I'm out of paint. And I'm saying, okay, Lord, I know this is it. I'm done now. And I gladly packed it all up, and I went back a couple hours later, and I cleaned all that off, not to give reason for the ungodly to blaspheme God. I left paint there. Tried to clean up as best I could, but there's a spot. And I knew I'm going back to that spot, and I didn't want anybody to give reason to say, this Christian, look at the mess this guy made. So I cleaned it up. But anyway, over the course of the following week, I went out again this last Tuesday. And praise the Lord, Rose and Tim were able to come and encourage me. I praise the Lord. It was really very encouraging for them to be there, see a couple smiling faces, and it was an encouragement. Any of you want to come between 12 and 2, Court in Maine, I'll be there. And then Monday came, and there's threat of rain. We all pile in the car. We're looking at the sky, and we're saying, or they're saying, you know, oh, it's raining. It's raining. I'm saying, well, we're not there yet. You know, the Lord's just testing us. I got to take this turn off. A few sprinkles. Am I just going to turn off now? I know the Lord wants me there. What, is he going to have a downpour and I'm not going to be able to preach today? I'm thinking, it's going to dry up. We keep driving. The rain stops. We get downtown. Again, I prayed for a parking space. And for the past 2 weeks, just to show you, and I tell you these things to glorify the Lord, to show you that in specific answered prayer, the Lord has worked. The very closest spot I could park at last week cleared as I went there, and I pulled in. This past week, as we approached, Rose says, "All right, Jeff, I don't think you're going to find a parking space." And I said, "You know what? I've already prayed, and the Lord knows about it." I'm sitting at the light, and we're looking, and out pulls the very first car again. He drives away. I pull ahead, and I pull right in the very first parking space again. It's pouring out. It's absolutely pouring out. I'm thinking, You know, I was pouring out to the degree where I wouldn't get out and preach because it's coming down too hard. I've got paper, you know, and paper would just turn to mush. So I get out. So we're sitting in the car. We have a word of prayer. And I just was expecting the Lord. I'm saying, well, just sit tight for 5 minutes or so. It's going to clear. All of a sudden, the rain stopped. Sprinkle here, tiny little sprinkle. We get out, and I said, let's go. Get out, go up under the corner. For the next hour and a half, it was dry. Skies were gray. Water on the ground. My board stayed completely dry over the course of the next hour and a half. And I began to preach. And people stand around. They listen. There's a hot dog stand nearby. You know, they listen from there. They stand against the wall. Some walk and kind of linger a little bit. Ideally, though, this type of ministry works well if you can have like three or four people perhaps standing in front of you watching, and then the crowd draws. The crowd principle really works. It worked well because when I was down in New York, we had like six or eight people to stand around. You put six or eight people, you can get two lines of six or eight people there beyond that of people just walking by. You know, if you're out here preaching for a guy to stand there all by himself, you know, he's like the only one in front of you. It doesn't go over well with them, and so they just keep walking, or they'll stand against the wall, or that type of thing. But my question and the reason for giving all this out to you is to make that clear to y'all. Some of you might think I have this gift of evangelism. Some of you might think that I'm really bold and courageous. And I tell you, I'm a total wimp. 17, 18 months, I dragged my feet. Knew what the Lord wanted me to do and didn't do it. In my own strength, I'm totally weak. And all of us are. We're nothing. We're nothing at all apart from the Spirit of God. So my encouragement, my thoughts to you are, is there anyone here? Is the Lord calling you to do something? Dragging your feet. Lord wants you to do something. He's made it clear to you, but you're not doing it. Or maybe the Lord's given you something that you ought to do, but you've never done anything about it. Well, do something about it. Set a deadline. Tell others about your thoughts. The Spirit of God dwells in you and perhaps has revealed something to you that you ought to do. Tell someone else. Be accountable to someone else so that they might know your thoughts and they might pray with you about it and ask you about it, and that you too might be able to respond when someone says, have you stepped forward and done anything about it? Because you need to step forward. I only say this because my desire is that the Lord would be glorified, that we as saints would be built up, and that we'd grow in our faith, and we can only grow as we continue to move forward. And I don't think that the Lord continues to reveal things to us until we're faithful with what He's shown us. Be faithful and obedient, and He'll show you more. I went down to the Leviticus study in January, and with my dragging my feet on this preaching and things, I went down and heard some of the finest teaching in the book of Leviticus. But I'll tell you, I'm not sure that the Lord allowed any of it to penetrate my heart and mind, to retain any of it, because I wasn't obedient. He's already provided me with a perfect prime rib dinner. Lobster, shrimp, you name it. He's got it all here before me. He's laying it all before me. He just says, there it is. Take of it, Jeff. Eat. And you just be faithful and be obedient. And then I go down and want some, like, ice cream. And I want some, go down and study Leviticus. And I want some sweets. I want to add on to it. And the Lord says, you know, eat what you've got. So that's my encouragement to you for you tonight. I'm not sure how this all came out. I hope it wasn't rambling, but I hope it's just been an encouragement. Who is the Lord to give for us to give Him second best, or to give Him third best? He's given us of His best, the Lord Jesus Christ, and we ought to in return give Him absolutely no less. Who are we to give any less? Give thanks and commit this to the Lord. Father, we just stop in Your presence and we give thanks for the Spirit of God that dwells in us. We give thanks for the Spirit of God that leads us in all truth, that leads us in paths of Thy will. And we give thanks, Father, for the way in which You reveal Yourself to us through Your Word, through the encouragement of others, through the circumstances, through our own talents. You you can lead us and direct us and make aware of the things that you'd have us be doing. We just pray, Father, that we would be all be found obedient day to day, that we'd pray for obedience on our part. When we recognize disobedience, that we would confess it and turn and be faithful. Father, we would pray for this local body of believers here. We would pray that we might grow in fellowship and relationship, that we would grow with personal relationships with each other, whereby we could really be encouragers one of the other, that we would know the burdens and weights and things that we carry around each and every one, so that we might be better encouragers one of the other and build each other up, that we might all be greater light, greater testimonies, and grow in a greater likeness to the Lord Jesus as we live out our lives here on this earth. Father, we do look forward to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. We look forward to being with you for all of eternity. And while we remain here, Father, we pray that we'd be obedient and be faithful. So we just commit this time to you, Father. Pray it's an encouragement to us all. And we just pray your blessing on it as we depart. In the name of the Lord Jesus, we pray. Amen.